night. And man, as I was praying for this service, I was like, God, I want to go expecting something to happen. I don't want to just go to church tonight and just go through the normal. I don't want this just to be another Wednesday night where I just go through, learn something, get through church, and go home and go to work the next day. But I want to come with an expectancy, expecting the Spirit of God to move. I feel like God has something spectacular He wants to do here tonight. I really do. I don't know how to explain it. I'll be honest, it kind of scared me to death. But as I was driving to church here, I had my whole message typed out. I've been praying and seeking God the whole afternoon for it. And I just was praying on my way here to church. I was like, God, something just feels off. I can't put my finger on it, but something is bothering me. Something is bothering on me. Now I was turning right at this stop sign to come up State Street. It's just like I felt an impression. And I was like, oh, dear Lord, because it was already 7:05, and I just knew I had to change it because He was dealing me with about what He wanted me to preach tonight. And so if you can get on board with me tonight and let God have His way, I believe something spectacular is going to happen. I believe it with all my heart, and I promise I'm not going to be long. It might be 10 minutes. I only have half the pages of notes that I usually have, but I believe in that short amount of time, God's about to do something here in Augusta, Kansas. Not just this church, but in all of Augusta, Kansas, and as far out. But I believe it starts with us here tonight. Hallelujah. If you get your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I know I've kind of been stuck on David lately, but this is another version. This is nothing new. Everybody's heard this. Everybody knows exactly the entire story. But the way my brain works, you probably heard it before, but I'm going to come at it at a different angle. But I believe God's going to do something. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Skip down to verse 26. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Just for a short little period of time, I promise it's going to be very short. But I'm just going to preach to you for a little bit. Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Let's ask God to move here tonight. God, we need you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Come on, let your faith arise tonight. Let's reach out with faith. If you didn't come with an expectancy, now is the time to be expecting something. Now is the time you can pray and ask God. God, I came with the need. God, I'm leaving with it answered tonight. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. In Jesus' name. On December 7th, 1941, that is a date that everybody probably knows. On December 7th, 1996, it was actually the date my parents got married. But years before that, in 1941, was Pearl Harbor, a day that will live in infamy. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, killing multiple people, destroying the United States, most of the United States Army, what was a good portion of it, crippling the United States. This was unexpected and not commonly known, but the Japanese, before they bombed Pearl Harbor, were in talks with America of having peace in the Pacific Ocean. I didn't know that until I was actually just read it a couple minutes ago. I knew that I wanted to use this speech, but I did not know that. They were in talks, and President Roosevelt said, while we were in talks for having peace in the Pacific Ocean, they were plotting and planning and destroying and planning an attack on our Navy and our own country. So the little portion I'm going to read for you, it is a couple minutes, so hang with me. But it is President Roosevelt's speech of the day in infamy. And it says, Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate and House of the Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador of the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existent diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of an armed attack. There it goes on from there. I kind of skipped some of it, but it talks about how Pearl Harbor was not the only place that was bombed on December 7th. There was multiple other countries. I didn't put that in there, but there was multiple other countries that were bombed. Skipping a little forward, he put, it will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. I skipped another paragraph in there, and it says, the attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many Americans' lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. With confidence in our armed forces, with unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us, God. And then he said this line, or this sentence right here that I want to focus on. He says, I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire. Roosevelt had enough. Right there was enough, especially when they stepped over the boundary of peace talk, and then they took out some of the naval and the Air Force bases and killed American civilians. He said, enough was enough. I want to declare war on Japan right now. This speech was written on December 8th of 1941. Very next day, he jumped into action. Equally, in our church, we are in an equal spiritual battle, if not more important than what happened on December 7th. The devil does not play fair. He does not sit aside, and he does not allow any breaks. He fights day and night trying to attack the armies of the living God. He spends day and night defying the armies of the living God. And just one thing, I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead here, but in the past, I've talked to some people, and it seems, I just hear, you know, oh man, yeah, we've had so many people leave our church. We've had so many people not hold on. How much more people are we going to lose before something happens? And it seems that we just stand by and let Satan defy New Life Tabernacle. We just stand by and we count our casualties. We stand by, and I know that's not literal, but there was a fire and an anger that waged inside of me saying that is not going to happen. I am sick and tired of it, And Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Jesus' name. He's done it to our church enough. He's done it. I've heard people say, how many more young people are we going to lose? How many more church saints are we going to lose? No more. No more. I am sick of it. It is over. Satan's kingdom is coming down. He has lied too many times to us. He has lied to the young people and to everyone. And it stops tonight. Tonight. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. There's been multiple things that he tries to warn. He'll war against your faith. He'll sow doubt amongst you. He'll put depression amongst you. I'll admit, it might be easy to get depressed when you see people gone. It might get very easy to get depressed when you see the church emptying and you're like, what's going on? Who's going to be next? Do I need to go? It's easy. There's a war against the mind. He's consistently defying the army of God. Consistently defying the church and what's going on in New Life Tabernacle. And it stops tonight. Jesus, clap your hands right now. Jesus' name. After going to Heritage and praying with our young people, after seeing multiple other young people fighting, battling, there was a pastor who preached about the spirit of the end times, and he talked about how it was perversion in our young men and women selling their bodies in the last days, and it's just Satan attacking the church time and time again. And I'm tired of sitting back. And as a body and as our church of New Life Tabernacle, we need to stand together and fight the enemy. There's no more hanging back. There's no more sitting aside. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In 1 Samuel, because it don't end there. It don't matter. And I'm almost done. I told you it was going to be really short. We go back to chapter 17. But let's go to verse 45 and see what happens. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He went with him straight at the source. Hey, you might come with me something physical, but you know that God you've been defying? You know the armies? I come against you with the name of that God. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me pause right here. David was but a youth fighting a champion. It sounds to me like he had some courage. That had to be God. Because I know if I was a young teenager looking at some man who was over 9 feet tall, I'd be shaking in my shoes. I'd be terrified. But there was a courage and there was a faith that welled up in David that said he was aggravated. He was mad. And he said, no more. Enough is enough. I've watched all these other men hide. But I am coming out right now in the name of God. It doesn't look like he felt any kind of fear. But he stood right up. And just reading that just now, we might only have a church of 35. But that's something the devil wants to point out. That's something he wants to point out and make obvious. Hey, your church ain't that big. Look at the ones down the road compared to a city of 9,000 people. No, that does not matter. God can use, if he can use a teenage boy to defeat a champion, he can use our church of 35 to win souls of 9,000. This church is going on for revival, no matter how big or how small. Let's all stand while I finish reading this. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give thy carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day and to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I don't know what anybody might be facing. As a church as a whole, I know we're battling spirits. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. But each and every single one of you have something you're battling. I don't know what it is. You put your thing in there. You can be struggling it with it day in and day out. And if you have nothing you're struggling with, you're worn in the spirit with this church. And tonight is the night it's over. It ends tonight. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray right now. Come on, church. That's it. Satan's kingdom is coming down tonight. Something changes in our church tonight. Enough is enough. Come on, young people. Whatever it might be you're going through, enough is enough.